The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I'm very proud to carry that banner to Oros and Oberon.
I am of Ireland. Come dance with me in Ireland.
Let us address the next 7 years with hope and courage as we work together to build a future for our country.
Yes, a presidential election is, of course, looming in the not too distant future. And we have the first couple of names in the ballot sheet and a few more mooted to join them. I think Sinn Féin this weekend, a big meeting happening on that front. Over the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about the election. We'll be talking about the politics of it throughout the show. But at this particular point, every week, I'm going to be joined, as I am right now, by Patrick Geoghegan, director of the Trinity Long Room Hub and, of course, presenter of Talking History here on News Talk, to talk about the election from a few different angles. And Patrick, we are starting this week, I understand, with the ugliest presidential elections. Is that right?
That is right, Kieran, because they turn ugly and they turn into a blood sport.
Why? Why do you think that is?
I think it might be partly because the way the presidency is, and it doesn't have a huge amount of power, in a campaign you tend to focus on the personalities because you can't really argue about the policies. I think it's partly because it starts in the summer when there isn't a lot of other things happening, and then there becomes a media frenzy. And I think that just the way things have gone historically ever since 1990 and Brian Lenehan, everyone knows it's a blood sport. And so when it starts, it becomes a blood sport and at this gladiatorial contest for the contestants.
So is that where we're starting, 1990?
I think 1990 is a good one because that was the really infamous one. And I started going back on the newspapers, and what I realised is that I had kind of forgotten some of the controversies, because when we think of the big scandals and the big controversies of that election, it's of course Brian Lenehan and the tapes and On Mature Recollection. But the controversy actually began a little bit earlier in October.
Okay.
When Mary Robinson, who was, you know, a candidate that not a lot of people were giving much of a chance to, she gave an infamous interview to Hot Press magazine. She was interviewed by a young journalist called Liam Fay, who went on to have a great media career. But in it, she said a few things that would be completely innocuous now, but in 1990 were seen as hugely controversial.
What did she say?
She was asked, for example, about the Virgin Megastore on Aston Quay in Dublin, which sold condoms, and contraceptives were still illegal in Ireland. And she was asked whether, as president, she might officially open a stall selling condoms. And she said she would. And that became a huge story.
Yeah.
The Irish press, in a somewhat distasteful soundbite, claimed that her Hot Press interview was, quote, the longest suicide note in history. And it was seen as really damaging. So in the first few weeks in October, what people were actually talking about was how Mary Robinson had engaged, got herself involved in this huge controversy. I looked at the opinion polls. In the opinion polls on the 10th of October, Brian Lenehan was 49% when undecideds were excluded. And so it looked like it was an inevitability that Brian Lenehan, a very popular Taoiseach, Minister for Justice, senior politician.
Yeah.
Fianna Fáil had won every single election.
Yes, famously.
And no one was expecting them to lose this one.
What happened then with Brian Lenehan and Mature Recollections and everything? Talk me through to what happened up to that point.
It all went horribly wrong for him when there was a famous episode of Questions and Answers, when a question was asked about phone calls to the Oros in 1982 when Gareth Fitzgerald was Taoiseach. And one of the powers of the president, and we can explore this in later weeks, one of the powers is that the president can dissolve the Dáil, but if the Taoiseach of the day has lost a majority, has lost control of the Dáil, the president can refuse to allow it to be dissolved. In other words, you will let the other parties try and form an alternative government.
Okay.
Now, that's never happened, but in 1982, Gareth Fitzgerald had lost support, wanted to call an election, and phone calls were made to the Oros to try and persuade Patrick Hillary, who, former Fianna Fáil distinguished politician who was the president, not to dissolve so that Charles Haughey could put together a government. And in various books, it was claimed that Brian Lenehan had been one of those people. In articles in the Irish Times in 1990, it was claimed that Brian Lenehan was one of those people. But on questions and answers, it was denied.
Lenehan said no. I wasn't one of them. I didn't make the call.
Now, unfortunately for him, he'd been helping out a young PhD political student, a political science student in UCD called Jim Duffy, and those interviews were on tape. And as the controversy raged, those tapes were made public. And in it, he was kind of boasting that he had. Now, I have always wondered whether he was in such bad health. He had had the liver transplant in the Mayo Clinic. I don't think he was fully... I wonder if he was just boasting when he did the interviews with Jim Duffy. I wonder if he genuinely remembered in 1990 whether he had made the phone calls or not. Certainly it seems in later years that it came out that Patrick Hillary refused to take the calls. So he just told his aide, you know, don't put them through.
Yes. So, but what you had over the space of a short period of time in the campaign was Brian Lenehan on RTE television saying, I didn't make those calls. And then audio of Brian Lenehan saying,
yes,
I made those calls.
And worse, when he went on the news then and gave that terrible interview, and he looked unwell. He didn't look like he really was fully clear about what he was saying, but the infamous catchphrase of on mature recollection, you know, he didn't make the phone calls. And he dropped to 31% in the opinion polls. In one of the opinion polls taken soon afterwards, Mary Robinson was up to 52%.
Yeah.
And people thought she was going to win on the first count.
She didn't, though. She won on...
She
Lenehan
won on transfers.
Still ended up with more votes,
yes,
didn't he?
When you actually go to the results on the 7th of November, Brian Lenehan received 44%, which was a very respectable, very credible tally. When Mary McAleese won in 2004 as a Fianna Fáil candidate, she had 45% first preferences. So it was, but Mary Robinson got 38.9, so almost 40. Austin Curry, running for Fine Gael, got 17%. But what the controversy ensured was that very few transfers were going to go to Brian Lenehan.
Okay, and so that was the first big one, 1990. We don't have to move much further into the future to find the next kind of controversial, the next ugly campaign, because it's 97, isn't that right?
97, and you had a huge number of candidates there. And as we know, Mary McAleese went on to win it. But, you know, even at the time, you had people like Owen Harris writing columns warning about her northern background. She was accused of being a tribal time bomb and that this would be disastrous for the peace process and this would be disastrous for relations north and south if she was elected. And as we know, she went on to become one of our greatest presidents of all time. But she came under attack. A.D. Roach was nominated by the Labour Party. And they were trying to repeat the trick of Mary Robinson. And A.D. Roach, a hugely impressive figure, an anti-nuclear power campaigner. She had been the CEO of Chernobyl Children after that terrible disaster, and hugely respected going in as an activist, as someone who campaigned for peace and against nuclear power. But there seemed to be this terrible smear campaign, and very much behind the scenes, you know, alleging things about her brother, which were later very much conclusively proven to be not true. He had been dismissed from the Irish Army 28 years earlier. And there was this, you know, nasty, untrue speculation that he had been connected to the provost. So then the smear was A.D. Roach is also connected to the provost. And that was all investigated after the election. It was all completely disproved. There was a vindication for Donald Arosta, the brother, but it was hugely traumatic. At one point, A.D. Roach was on 22% in the opinion polls. She dropped to 12%. Mm. In the end, she got 7%.
It's a sadder story than Brian Lenehan's, because that was of his own making. You know, he said I didn't do it. There's audio of him saying I did do it. All that confusion is caused by him. As you say, this was just this was fake news. They wouldn't have called it fake news at the time, but that's what it was, story about the brother.
And I think that's what became terrible about the presidential elections after that. It no longer became about the truth about the things you may have done in your career. It also became about, can we take you down on anything?
Yeah.
And candidates became open game, open season, and some really shocking things. Now, Mary McAleese had incredible momentum going into that election. She was on 40% in most of the polls. She never really...
She might have won it anyway.
She probably would have won it anyway. And she ended up on 45%. But I think it's more the fact that a very good, honourable person who had devoted her life to very noble, worthy causes and had an opportunity to discuss those on the campaign trail was very unfairly tarnished and maligned. And something like that, it is hugely traumatic for you and your family.
It's a character assassination.
Character assassination.
Yeah, that's what happened. 2011 then. So let's talk about this. This is the kind of the final ugly campaign that we're going to talk about today. But as I said at the outset, we're going to be talking about different aspects of presidential campaigns and the role and the history of it over the next few weeks. But talk us through 2011.
Well, 2011, first of all, there are so many candidates, you know, it's hard to keep track of them all. Michael T. Higgins, as we know, went on to win. You had Martin McGuinness running for Sinn Féin.
And yeah.
There was a lot of controversy around that. Gay Mitchell running for Fine Gael, but performed disastrously. David Norris went forward, then withdrew because of various controversies that were raised. You know, and again, I think somewhat unfairly there about him. He re-entered the race, but had kind of lost a lot of his momentum.
Yeah.
Dana ran, Rosemary Scallon. Sean Gallagher topped the poll going into the final week. And I think topping that, I think it was a Sunday Business Post poll, ended up destroying him because when there was that final televised debate, all the guns were focused on him.
Yes.
And he was accused of having received a brown paper envelope with this money in it that was meant to go to Fianna Fáil. And he was then tied and linked in with the big tent and Fianna Fáil and all of that kind of thing. And
for younger listeners, there was no more toxic issue to be tied to in 2011 Ireland than the Fianna Fáil tent of the Galway races.
And Michael T. Higgins had an incredible campaign because he was never leading in the polls at any time. He really wasn't crucified in the way that so many of the others were. But one of the people who was really destroyed, and again, really unfairly, was Mary Davis. And Mary Davis, like Aidy Roach, a remarkable person, hugely respected figure, had been put on the Council of State because she was seen as a hugely respected, a remarkable figure. She had been involved with the Special Olympics for many years. She was the CEO who brought the Special Olympics to Ireland in 2003, and that was the first time they'd ever been held outside of the United States.
A huge moment in modern Irish history, that, and kind of overlooked sometimes, I think, and how big it was.
It was very powerful. It changed how we viewed these things. It changed our relationship with so many things. It changed how we viewed disability. It showed that these remarkable young people had incredible abilities and potential that were perhaps overlooked. Mary Davis was a hero for many people.
Yeah.
And yet she was destroyed. She was given the nickname the Quango Queen. And I think there was a huge amount of sexism in that.
Yeah.
You don't find men being called Quango Kings, or you don't find like cruel nicknames being applied to them like that. But, and I was reading back over the newspapers again today, you know, the Quango Queen, that she was on various boards and she was receiving money for this, and that therefore she was just someone who collected these positions on boards.
And I mentioned the toxicity of the Galway tent. Again, you have to put yourselves back in the mind of people in 2011. There was a kind of a burn the Quangos fever. Wasn't there post-crash? There was this idea that you know, it formed part of that whole picture that people imagined in their minds of an elite on the take, screwing us all over.
And in fact, it was one of the campaign pledges of Fine Gael going into that election that it would abolish so many of these bangles.
Yeah, and then they went in and found out all these bodies were actually doing things.
And they had to change. But one of the ones that she was involved in that she was on the board of was Campus Stadium Ireland. And of course, when the newspapers referred to this, they said, the Bertie Bowl.
The Bertie Bowl.
And therefore, because she was being remunerated for this, she was the Quango Queen. And That was hugely damaging, and she ended up coming last in that election. And
Dana got it going over in that election as well, didn't she? This was her second time out.
Dana got it going over as well, and again, you know, something that were allegations that were later confirmed in court were not true about her brother and various allegations that had been made against him. as I say, later subsequently proven in court and confirmed in court not to be true. But she found herself having to fend off a lot of these allegations as well. And I do think, I think it's healthy, as you said, to critique and attack people on the record. So if you say you didn't make phone calls, but there is a tape where you boast about it, well, yeah, it is quite fair that you are interrogated about that. But I think when candidates have their private lives gone over, have their family members' lives gone over, and have things that are later very clearly proven to be untrue, I think it does turn people off politics, and it certainly turns people off running for the presidency. And I've talked to, over the last few months, a number of, you know, respectable men and women and distinguished figures who might have considered putting their name forward but don't want to go through such a baptism of fire.
And you know, there's people listening to this and there'd be an absolute agreement, and there's other people then and they'll listen to all of that and they'll be rubbing their hands with glee at the prospect of the next few weeks.
And unfortunately, I'm probably a little bit like that as well, because it does become very entertaining. In 2011, Gay Byrne considered putting his name forward.
That's right.
And again, there were stories then about, you know, had he said unwise things about drink driving, or had he done this or that? And so then he said that he would no longer put his name forward or be considered. So you sometimes find, you know, very distinguished, respectable, venerated, revered figures putting their names forward. And that's why presidential elections are very hard to predict, that someone can start the campaign as the favourite and with a huge lead in the opinion polls and find themselves coming near the bottom or at the very bottom in November.
I think Mairead McGuinness was top of the opinion polls last week, but again, it's really only Mairead McGuinness and Catherine Connolly we know will be on the ballot paper. By the time we get to the end of this series, that ballot paper will have extended. This time next week, Patrick's going to be back, and we're going to talk a bit about the role of the president, about when it was created, about how it evolved, about what their functions are, how you get rid of a president if you need to get rid of a president, and a whole lot more besides. So I look forward to it. Patrick Egan, director of the Trinity Long Room Hub, presenter of Talking History, of course. Patrick, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Get ahead of back to school this year at Dunn Stores. From prepping for their very first day to refreshing their uniform, now's the perfect time to shop schoolwear for the adventures ahead. Pick up a 3-pack of Playproof polos from just €5 and knitted school jumpers from just €3.75. Stock up on essentials like Easy Care joggers from just €5 and sweatshirts from €3.75. Back to school at Dunn Stores. For little ones with big schedules, shop in-store and online now. Terms and conditions apply.